You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, good evening, young lady. We are almost done with our first week of self-imposed isolation.
And boy, you are behind the times. It's been 2 weeks.
Has it really? Oh, well, honey, time flies by when I'm with you. Okay, you know, the only thing that we're missing is ankle bracelets and GPS monitoring.
Well, you know, my thought about this is, actually had this thought earlier this evening. Wow, we've been 2 weeks in, you know, isolation with one another, and we're still married. That's pretty good.
and we haven't killed each other.
That's right.
No, I think we do okay. But we have a big piece of property, so I can go to one end of it and you can go to the other. No, we've been good. We've been in close quarters, and we haven't even been battling. And we've been both trying to work on our businesses.
Yes.
And keep our businesses afloat. And I think we're no different than any other business owners in America. Or, you know, we've also been taking care of our employees and trying to do the best job that we can in supporting our employees. And I think that's what leadership is in business.
You know who's taken this the worst?
The dog.
She's bored to tears.
Absolutely bored. But you know what? I haven't taken her out on the property because we've been so busy, you know, with work, actually. You know, you've been doing all the marvelous things that you're doing with your business, you know, the whole rebranding thing and finding, you know, trying to, you know, find the silver lining.
Well, give my company a little plug, Proforma Graphic Print Source, located in Corona, California. And one of the things that we have been doing as far as not really rebranding, but just some things that we can do to help is that we really have access to quite a few of the personal protection items, being face masks, gloves, hand sanitizers, those types of things, gowns, don't have ventilators, but we have a lot of the items that people are looking for in this time of need. And they are definitely in short supply, and some things you have to wait a bit for, but we can still access them. So we've had a lot of requests for those types of items. And the other types of items that are still needed, that are essential for businesses, which helps us to stay in business, is, you know, we are a printing company, and so we do people's forms and their financial documents and their things that they need to get things done, and we do it for companies that are exempt from these stay-at-home orders, like medical companies and financial institutions and that type of thing. So that is helpful. That being said, this is very, very, very tough. Our orders are down, I mean, just dramatically, because nobody's spending any income right now. They're not even at work, right? They're staying home. So most companies in California, and of course we sell across the country, and in so many places that we sell into, these are not essential businesses, and a lot of the trade shows, basically all of them, have been canceled. And things where people gather, which is what we sell things for, are canceled. So it's very tough.
You know, you're completely right. You know, the word rebranding wasn't the correct word. But what I wanted to say is, because I'm watching you, you know, I'm over in my office, and then I come over to go bother you and distract you.
Usually to find out what there is to eat around.
Anyway, when I go over to your office, you know, I hear you got the phone glued to your ear, and you're giving directions to your staff, and but you're also you know, calling around, and what I see you doing is doing exactly what you just did right now. Okay, you're selling. So you're finding an opportunity, you have a product, and you're trying to match the opportunity, the customer up with the product.
Yes.
And I think that's what you have to do, you know, and not allow yourself to be obstructed. And I know your motto, and that's, you know, go through it, go around it, go underneath it, you know, go over the top of it, do anything to achieve business success. And it's interesting because of the years, and it's been years now, that we have been doing Talking Mile Married. You have never plugged Proforma Graphics.
I have never.
One time on this program. Okay, not one single time.
And I don't really do it for a plug. The reason I do it now is not self-serving. The reason I do it now is because I know that people sometimes are desperate for the kind of items that I mentioned, and they have no idea where to get them. If I can help somebody, I'm more than happy to do so. That being said, I can't help everybody because there's just a very short inventory, but I'm also really good at what I do. And because I'm really good at what I do take those extra steps, and I do have those suppliers that that I can access that other people can't, or just because of the relationships I've made over my career in this industry. So, you know, that's been a plus for the people that work with us. And you know, a lot of times too, Ron, their suppliers may be closed. So, you know, they need another resource. So, hey, it's a shameless plug, I guess.
No, but, I don't think
but
so.
You know, but it's because I have something to offer to people that people need in this time.
And you know, and I agree with you entirely, but I want to add a couple of things, okay? Because number one, I know how much you care about your employees. I care about our employees, but I know how much you care about your employees. And of course, over the years, I know all of your employees fairly well. And leadership is when you go and give your employees bad news, they are more concerned about how you're doing, Linda, how Linda Martinelli is doing, than they care about themselves. And you know, you have helped every single one of those employees over the years. I mean, you have taken care of an employee that had cancer. I mean, you have done, you know, all sorts of things to help those employees. And they said, you know, this is payback for you, and they're giving back to you. And as a matter of fact, the day that you came in and gave them a little bit of bad news, they all stayed and they offered to work for you that day, and I believe it was a Friday, for nothing. Okay, so to me, that's leadership. On my end of it, thank God, knock on wood, everything seems to be going fine because I have a different kind of business.
Right.
But the business is going to change with our 26 forensic experts and investigators and medical staff. Because one of the things that we have seen, I mean, immediately, is that our court cases with regards to trials have been postponed. All right. So the ability to get out there and to make money as a testifying expert right now, that's on hold.
Right.
I think depositions are going to change, or, you know, me, I'm flying here, I'm flying there. Depositions, site inspections, trials, giving testimony, and I think that is going to stop, okay? And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to video testimony with depositions in trial in the future. And the good news about that is that we already have a media room. We already invested in that last year. And so I think we're going to be able to just open up that door and hit the ground running and go there. But so far, Martinelli & Associates, Justice and Forensic Consultants, is doing okay. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have that situation. I don't know if it's going to change in the future, but I'm super blessed to have the phenomenal staff that I have that have been calling in and making sure that I'm okay.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's good news and bad news in our businesses every day. And we're no different than millions of other Americans that own small businesses. This is a terrifying time for them, Ron, especially in the food services industries. You know, I was watching Wolfgang Puck talk about this and how much money that restaurants put into the economy, and now they're virtually closed everywhere. So that's a really scary thought, because, you know, just think of all the restaurants everywhere. They're everywhere. They're every corner.
You know, even in our, in, even up our small town, which is about 13,000 people, we have a number of restaurants, sure. right? And we, during this time, we have tried to support our local restaurants. Today, we went out to a local deli. We ordered, right? Went to the drive-up window.
Yeah, we ordered on the phone, and then you just pick it up at the drive-through right. window, which, you know, which is great, and I'm happy to do that. And, you know, for me, having kind of been locked up for the last couple of weeks, that was the first time that we've had a kind of a treat outside of our own things that we make ourselves. Right. So that was a nice treat. And, you know, I was also noticing, I get a lot of emails, and I just am amazed at the American ingenuity in cases like this. When we have this crisis happening, so many companies are doing a bang up job at kind of, like you said, kind of rebranding themselves and bringing up new ideas. Now, P.F. Chang's is one that I get a lot of emails from because I love P.F. Chang's.
Oh, as do I.
And they are offering, you know, hey, just call us up and we'll bring it out to your car. And, you know, we've got this deal and that deal. And they're offering all kinds of different kinds of deals. And I think, you know, it's very appealing. And I want to support all of these businesses that we can support because I know how tough it is. And I know, I mean, believe me, this is a crisis, at least for my business and for millions of other people. And we just need to give people the support that we can. That being said, there are a lot of these businesses who have had to close down, who I think could have people working from home and still getting orders for their business, depending on what kind of business it is. Now, if they pass this stimulus plan, which I would like to discuss with you because there's so many facets of this to discuss, if they pass it and people like me can pay my employees to, you know, stay on the job rather than laying them off or furloughing them, then people can kind of rethink how they can do business. And I think we can get this economic engine going a little bit better. Fully, no, but better.
You know, one of the things that I would hope that small business owners do that have their businesses kind of closed right now is think about ways that you can use social media. And I'm hoping that social media, especially, I guess a lot of people use Facebook, and I think Instagram, I'm not a huge Instagram user. Matter of fact, I don't use it at all. One of our sons for our firearms company is operating Instagram and doing our little ads on Instagram. But I would hope that some of the small business owners will take these opportunities to use video and use social media and you know, just like go around the store or something with your, you know, cell phone on video and talk to people and show them items that you have on sale, provide a telephone number, provide an email address and say, look, if y'all want to buy this particular item, this product, whatever it is, you know, just give us a call or email us and we can do the purchase, you know, over the phone with a credit card or a debit card. And you drive by the store and you knock on the door and, you know, we'll put it out in front of the shop.
And, we'll ship it to you.
Or we'll ship
it
to you.
Whatever you need.
Yeah, because you got to do that. You have to think of different ways to make your business successful. Now, I think a lot of businesses that were rocky, not firmly established, having problems, I truthfully think those businesses are going to go away, and I don't think they're going to come back.
Well, happened during 9/11 as well. And you know what? Every X number of years, however many that is in the economy, something happens to do just that. It kind of washes out the people that are on the brink, and it lets the other people thrive. And that's just the way that it is.
It is. And you know what I'm reminded of is going back during the Obama administration, and I'm not picking on President Obama, it just what happened was the economy. Remember, we went into the
big recession.
The big recession. And the real estate bubble broke.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? And we were all in trouble with our houses and refinancing and houses being, you know.
Repossessed.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Repossessed. Everybody was in trouble. We were having issues. Okay. And we got through all of that with flying colors, and some businesses closed down, but others took their place.
Yes.
And I think it just has a lot to do with natural selection.
It does.
Okay, you got to have a good business plan, you got to have a good product, and you got to have good employees. Now, you know, I want to go back over, just make one remark, because you were talking about Wolfgang Puck, and I listened to that interview, and I was astounded, but it makes total sense. He said, tell me if I'm wrong, he said that restaurants and the food service industry contribute $1 trillion a year to our economy.
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's
right.
True.
Absolutely, I mean,
amazing. America eats out a lot, right?
Yeah.
So we can still support those companies and enjoy yourself at the same time by getting it to go. And if you're in Texas, then you can get your alcohol to go too.
Yeah, which is weird, okay? Yeah. But Texas is the great state of Texas, sort of a different place. And we're more user-friendly and business-friendly. And, you know, I wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about that and the stimulus package, you know, in just a minute. But, you know, we truly feel for all the people that are out there that are not small business owners, but are employees, because we know that those people, and we know tons of them, we have tons of friends that are employees. They don't own anything, right? Business-wise, they go to work every day, or they go to school, or they do this or that. They're in some sort of service industry, and now, you know, they're out of a job, and they're home, and they're worried, and they're, you know, looking at the television and listening to the radio and trying to figure out what the hell is going on with, you know, with Congress and the Senate, and, you know, how President Trump is, you know, trying, and his administration are trying to move everybody forward.
You know, speaking of President Trump, it's interesting that former Vice President Joe Biden, he has come out and blamed Donald Trump, his slow virus response, for 3 million lost jobs. And I'm thinking, are you just kidding me? I mean, look what they didn't do during the SARS epidemic.
And swine flu when it came out, right?
But I've never seen a president act so fast. I mean, way back in January, when we had almost nothing happening, is when he started cutting off the flights to China.
And by the way, he was criticized for doing that.
Yes.
And we are in, I mean, just think about how big the United States of America is. We've got 327 million people in this country, and we've got over 1,000 deaths from this. And I think we're at, what did they say? Are we at 1% right now? We're at 1% because we have, 80,000 cases? But anyway, we'll work out the math in a bit. But I think, given everything that has happened, he and his staff and our medical professionals, there's been a few screw-ups, but they have bounced back right away. So how about our first cup of coffee? In my case, I'm drinking orange juice.
Oh, okay.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police,
on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's the truth behind the Black Lives Matter movement and the war on police at Amazon.com.
Well, I see you got your refill, and I poured another glass of orange juice, and I'm raring to go, and I'd like to talk about the stimulus package.
I would also, but I want to go back to Joe Biden for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, you're stuck on Joe.
I'm stuck on Joe, because it really bothers me that he says that the president didn't get ahead of it when he had the chance, and in the absence of an early aggressive response to flatten the curve, cities and states have been left with no option other than extreme social distancing. Are you kidding me? I just don't get this. He jumped on this right away. He's been on it every single day, numerous times a day. And he's not in hiding in his basement like Joe Biden is. He's out and about. He's out and doing the work of the people and just getting every bit of information and getting every bit of support from our manufacturers in different industries to help us
retool
and build the things that we need for this pandemic. I mean, nobody, I can't imagine anybody that I can ever think of having been president of this country acting in this manner.
No, I completely agree with you. Look at all the forces and resources that President Trump and his administration have got to marshal. And some of this stuff is completely off the books, meaning it's never happened like this before.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
We are inventing new ways of doing things. You know what it reminds me of? And someone said this, and I don't remember if it was President Trump, but somebody notable said this. We are on a war footing right now against the coronavirus. And just like we did in World War II, and you and I mentioned it on a prior conversation, companies that are used to building one thing.
Like a car. Yeah.
Are now going to be building, you know, respirators.
Right.
Companies like MyPillow, right, which is a company that we support, and we've got a couple of their products, and they're wonderful products. What are they doing? They're going to start building masks,
yes.
Manufacturing masks.
Yes.
And I mentioned, you know, in one of our coffee conversations that I remember the Singer Sewing Machine Company during World War II, all of a sudden they went into the production of Thompson 45 caliber submachine guns for World War II. I can't think of a weirder thing to do when you're making sewing machines one day and the next day you come back and you're making machine guns. All right.
Yeah.
But that's the way America is. We are an industrialized powerhouse. And over the years, we have allowed ourselves to be neutered. Okay.
Oh, that's a good word. You're absolutely right. And then not only were we neutered, but we were told that we had to stay neutered by President Obama. And President Trump came in and said, oh, no, you don't. We are America, and we are going to be great, and we're going to bring manufacturing back. Now what we need to do is bring our pharmaceuticals back.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I know that there are physical materials that are used in the manufacture of pharmaceuticals, and I understand that we get some of those from China, but I am hoping that this silver lining is that America has a wonderful, albeit difficult, opportunity and challenge ahead to rethink how we do everything as far as an industrialized nation.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm not talking isolationism here whatsoever. I'm not a Woodrow Wilson, you know, pre-World War I isolationist type of guy. What I'm saying is we are crazy and we're crazy to allow politicians with an agenda to neuter us industrially, all right, and force us, okay, because of lobbying, and that's a whole different subject we have to talk about sometime in the future. About how we need to stop this political lobbying, stop these politicians and the members of families of politicians from lobbying and making tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars off the backs of Americans. And we need to manufacture our own pharmaceuticals. We have to look at other places in the world where we can find the minerals or whatever it takes, the chemicals, whatever, to purchase and then manufacture our own, especially antibiotics and analgesics.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, so you mentioned just a second ago something that kind of struck home with me, which was about the politics and all of this, which is one of my favorite subjects. So let's talk about the politics in this. Now let's talk about this stimulus plan, which should have been done a week ago, but is not done. Why? Right. It's not done because the Democrats wanted to add all kinds of garbage into it and pork into it and their own personal little things into it, which had nothing to do with coronavirus.
Thank you. Nothing to do with coronavirus. Far removed from coronavirus, which needs to be the priority right now in our war against this virus.
And how dare they take the American people in a crisis like this and throw their pork. And I'm going to tell you what that pork is.
Yeah,
right
I'd
now.
Like to know.
Okay. So let's start out. They wanted to give the post office a bailout. That's number one. They wanted new emission mandates for airlines.
And they're going to this, they were trying to get over this green gas.
They can't get over
reintroducing it. Reintroducing the whole green, what is it called? Green
gas? Well, the greenhouse gas stats.
Greenhouse gases.
They wanted greenhouse gas stats for individual flights. Okay. I mean, what does that have to do with coronavirus? For heaven's sakes, why would you put that in this bill?
Why are we even talking about the airline industry in this manner? Okay.
Well, I mean, they're suffering greatly. That's a whole other subject.
But not putting a condition on it that deals with this failed
legislation. Let's hit them when they're down.
Well, no, you know what? And what I'm saying is that they're, and I don't mean to take away from what you're talking about because I want to hear everything you have to say, but I don't want to lose this thought. And that is what's going on from what I could see is that all the failed legislation that they couldn't get passed before, they were trying to get the Senate, and they'll try to do it with the Congress, trying to force that down.
Well, it's extortion.
Well, it is.
Sure.
And we're trying to force it down our throats.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Because it's a crisis.
Yes. Which we should never let go to waste.
Anyway,
so
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Student loan forgiveness. What does that have to do with the coronavirus? Report corporate pay stats by race. What does that have to do with coronavirus? New corporate board diversity rules. All of this, everything I'm saying is what they tried to stuff into the coronavirus stimulus. Okay, and it goes on. Early voting requirements in all states.
Meaning they are allowed to register to vote on the same day that they vote.
Well, that was another, in addition.
And you know why? So there's no vetting.
Sure.
Okay.
New subsidies for retirement plans for community newspaper workers. Okay. Only the subsidies for retirement plans are for community newspaper workers. Okay. Excuse me?
That's lobbying. Somebody lobbied that.
Yep. Major expansion of collective bargaining. There's your unions.
Union lobbyists and money. Do you smell money there?
Okay. Well, and let me finish that sentence because that's major expansion of collective bargaining rights for federal workers. Okay. So federal workers who already have these humongously strong unions, they just need more.
And they're a huge Democratic voting bloc. So they are, what are they talking to? They're talking to their base. And they're trying to not only get failed legislation introduced back in, but introduce new, more socialist legislation
in
there.
Well, you'll like this one. Risk limiting audits of election results.
What does that mean, Linda?
I just can imagine because I haven't read the whole thing. But to me, it has to do with all the fraud in the elections, and they don't want there to be
any
consequences to that vetting of it. Expansion of minority banks and minority credit unions. I mean, really, what are we stuffing into this bill? And it goes on, okay? 2020 census reforms relating to citizenship status of students.
You know what? I have to say something. I just filled out our census form.
Oh, you did?
Okay, I did. Yeah, because you were telling me, hey, you got to fill this out. So I did, and I went online, and I think it took me about 10 minutes to do it. There was not, this is why I'm laughing about this, there was not a single question about whether a person is in the United States legally or illegally. Not one single.
Well, you remember that they went to court over it because Trump wanted that question asked.
And that's why this makes me laugh. Yeah. Because, you know, there's all this talk about inclusivity, and we have to know who's in the United. This is the Democrats talking, by the way. We need to know who's in our country so that it doesn't matter whether they're legal or illegal. We just need to know who's in our country.
No, they don't want the question asked.
Well, so wait a minute, let me finish. So that we can have the economic resources, the social service resources, the educational resources, the criminal justice resources, you know, the welfare resources, all of this. Okay, they made a big deal about that. But yet, we have no idea who's in our country, because who's in our country legally as opposed to illegally, because they never posed the question.
No, because it went to court, and they, by the time that they had to get the census out, they couldn't get this whole thing resolved. So it had to come out without that question.
Correct.
Which I think is really wrong, because the question has been on the census many, many times. So anyway, I want to know how many illegal aliens are in our country.
Yeah. But not to, you know, tear away from the subject matter, what the heck does that have to do with our stimulus package for coronavirus? How does that move the country forward? How does that move small business forward? How does that move individual displaced workers, out of work workers? How does that move them forward? It doesn't.
No, it does. None of this
okay?
does.
And that's all money that they wanted.
Yes.
And a lot of money.
Yes.
That they wanted diverted to these different items that you're talking about.
Yep. So another one was requiring availability of internet voters for voter registration.
Notice how much of this is related to elections and voting.
Yep. So
now I heard. I'm sorry.
There's more.
Okay, I was going to say.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. I heard that NPR, they wanted to fund NPR,
yep.
And the Kennedy Center for the Performing mm-hmm. Arts and some of these other things. So what? What left?
Okay, well, here's what's left. The expansion of wind and solar tax credits. Again, back to the Green New Deal thing.
Exactly.
Bringing back the Obama phones.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I thought people were joking.
I heard that on Facebook, and I thought people were joking.
No.
They're bringing back the Obama phones.
No, this is what they wanted.
Okay.
All the things I'm saying are what they wanted. They didn't get them.
All right.
But
well,
then they
the
wanted
good news.
$35 million for the Kennedy Center of Performing Arts, and $150 million for the National Endowment for the Arts and Humanities, and then they wanted $50 million for the Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Absolutely amazing.
$75 million for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, NPR. And that was what they wanted.
Okay, now I was just kind of adding it up in my head, and there was at least $400 million in there.
Oh okay? No, I think there was far more.
I mean,
than
I'm just saying, just in these last section of what you were talking about, just there's $400 million. Can you imagine how that would help small business? Can you imagine how that would help displaced workers? Given that $400 million, okay.
Yeah.
So what did they vote on, Linda?
Well, I haven't. First of all, as of you and I speaking this evening, it's not done. So we don't know everything, but we know what's in it. And if the Congress approves it, then it will be official.
But let's talk about what the Senate approved, okay?
Senate approved, again, I don't know that I have every detail. But here's what the Senate approved.
Let's talk about
that. That's going to a voice vote in the Congress.
Okay.
Which is a one-time tax rebate check, $1,200 per individual, $2,400 per couple, and $500 per eligible child. It's not reduced for lower income Americans, but it is reduced for higher income Americans. So you might get nothing, or you might get a lower amount than that. Okay. And I'm okay with that. I think everybody should have got the same, but, and here's why I think that. Because even the higher earning Americans have higher bills. Okay.
Correct.
So it all kind of evens out in a way, but I'm okay with what they did. So this phases out completely at $99,000 for individuals. So if you make over $99,000, you get nothing, and $198,000 for married couples. So if you make over that, you get nothing.
Wow.
Okay. Expanded unemployment insurance to cover gig workers, self-employed, and nonprofit employees.
Can I ask you a question? Do you know what a gig worker is?
Well, a gig worker is like somebody that goes in and works a concert or a it's a gig. It's a
like a musician type of thing. Something that supports musicians.
It could be anything. Okay. It doesn't have to be a musician.
Okay.
But it's just that you're doing a one-time job for this or that.
Job by job.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, and then let's see. So then we've got a new small business-backed loan program to help small businesses pay for expenses. Loans taken by small business to keep employees on the payroll may be forgiven. That concerns me.
Because it says may be
not
forgiven.
Shall be, not will be,
that's
but
right.
maybe.
And you know how often the government will throw something out there like a carrot and then just suck it back in. And now, you know, you don't get anything, right?
Well, if you
it may not be forgiven too.
So it does not make me secure to
go
get a loan and risk everything in my life so that I can help my employees, which is what I want to do.
And which we were planning on doing on
yes.
Friday, okay? But
we have to read the fine print. And I need assurance that that's going to happen, as well as millions of other small business owners. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if millions of small business owners took these loans out and they weren't forgiven, and all of a sudden they're all in debt? First of all, you can't do that to people. You take from their retirement, from their livelihood. You can't do that to people. So if we are going to put ourselves on the line and support all of these employees that they want us to support, rather than putting them on unemployment on their bill, then they have to help us.
Yeah.
So I don't like that word may.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I'll just say it really quick, the feeling that I get from the Democrats is that they just don't like business people. They don't like businesses. They exploit them. They want them to make money so they can exploit them tax-wise, but they're just not really in their corner. Hey, I'm wondering if we could just have our last cup of coffee and come back and continue in this conversation, because I really want to know what got accepted so far
by
the Senate.
Yep, let's do it.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, HealthyCell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit HealthyCell.com/sleep. That's HealthyCell.com/sleep.
So we were talking, Ron, about the small business loans. And just to let you know, the 501c3s will also be eligible for those programs. So they can also take
the loans.
And
those are the nonprofits, right?
Yes.
501c3s.
Yeah. Okay. And then the federal government is supposed to forgive 8 weeks of cash flow, rent, and utilities at 100%, up to 2.5 times the average monthly payroll. If that's true, that will be phenomenal for small business. And I'm still concerned about that word may. that bothers me. But that part says will.
Well, so, you know, we were thinking about prepositioning at the bank, right, with the small business loan.
And we still will do that.
Well, I know that. But we had to hold off because guess what? They haven't passed it.
They haven't signed this
thing. Right? And we haven't seen the small print yet.
Yeah, they're dragging their feet as usual. Yeah.
How dare they? I mean, seriously.
So then they have assistance to distressed job creators. So loans, loan guarantees, and investment authority totaling $529 billion with $454 billion to be used by the Treasury, working with the Federal Reserve for all sectors, and $75 billion in loans, guarantees, and grants for passenger airlines, cargo carriers, and businesses critical to national security. So they're trying to take care of we have to support our airlines. We just have to. There's not even a question about it.
I completely agree. We can't get around anywhere without them.
Now, what I also read about this, but is not in what we're talking about right now, but what I did read is that the government may take a share in those airlines for giving them the money. Now, what I'd like to see is that those airlines can buy their way back out of that. I haven't seen that whole paperwork yet.
You know what? And I think we have to be very careful in that direction because it almost starts to sound like a nationalizing an industry.
Well, it definitely,
which is
it definitely
socialist
does.
Marxist.
But they did the same thing during the recession with the banks. You remember that they took a piece of the banks and of the car companies,
good point.
And they were allowed to buy their way out.
Okay.
So
they do the same thing, I won't have a problem with it.
Yeah. And so as for care, they're ensuring access to care for all Americans, an increase in Medicare reimbursements rate to assist providers caring for the most vulnerable population, which I agree with because I want to say something about that. I was talking to one of my doctors that he and I like to chit-chat about the medical system, and he's telling me the horrible, horrible pay that doctors make on Medicare patients, and not even just Medicare patients, but just on patients in general, and how much the hospitals make. I would like to see the doctors get more of a share.
And you know what? There's so many intermediaries, and in the current way that insurance, medical insurance works, it's so convoluted, it's so complex. There's so many people, so many cogs in the wheel now. And I think all of that sucks money out of doctors being able to make a living. You know, and while we're on this subject, but I don't want to talk about doctors for a minute, but we got our Medicare bills today. And you remarked to me that I think they went up again. And I'm so troubled by that, okay? Because we have put into Medicare our whole lives. And, you know, this is a very, very important medical insurance program for seniors, okay? And we put into it all our lives for this. And now it is gotten to the point for people like us where it's almost as expensive as the regular insurance that
yes.
we used to be on before we went on to Medicare.
Yeah,
Can I say one more thing, mm-hmm. sweetheart? I would hope, and I don't think it's going to happen because we would have seen it already, I would hope that this coronavirus thing wakes up a lot of people in government and they start looking at how much money people like ourselves are paying to be on Medicare. And I just think, hey, you know, y'all got to give us a little slack here, okay? You know, this stuff is, becoming very expensive for us.
I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that they want us to pay. So there's different parts to Medicare. And last month or two, the main part went up, and yesterday the part B went up. And it is interesting because really we could have regular insurance again and not have that. The difference is, probably the deductible is the difference. But I will say, and I have to give Texas absolute kudos. First of all, it's harder to get Medicare care in Texas if you haven't had a provider. But what I will say is that once you get care, it's the best medicine system I have seen anywhere. But anyway, let me go back to...
And I'll just say one thing, because you and I have both been using our UT health system here, you know, in our county, and it's just phenomenal. The doctor, you and I have a couple of the same doctors. They are just phenomenal. They actually sit down and talk with you. We had our doctor do a joint conference with us for about a half an hour. And I thought, you know, wow, this is incredible. So far better than we saw in California.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that this new bill that hopefully gets signed in the next day or so, it increases access to testing by allowing the Strategic National Stockpile to stockpile swabs necessary for the test kits. So they want to definitely increase and stockpile those swabs so that, you know, we can have access to more of them. Because what they're saying is that a lot of people probably have this virus but haven't been tested, so their numbers are not counting right now.
And you know what happens when you have these gigantic nationwide things, like, you know, a pandemic, and, you know, everybody starts manufacturing things. Man, the thing you got to watch out for is how you track those shipments. Because, you know, I just heard today, for instance, that the United States government shipped out 2,000 respirators to the state of New York, I think New York City, and somebody found them in a damn warehouse. Okay, and nobody had gotten them, and they've been in this warehouse for like a week. And so the supply chain and the whole idea of, hey, we're making 2,000 respirators, we ought to have already, I think this is a little bit of a medical screw up, we already have, should have the list of prioritization of where those respirators should be going, and they should be going door to door. I mean, right out of the manufacturer's door, right into the door of that hospital.
I think that they have to go to one central distribution point. But here's the thing. This has happened so fast, Ron, that you've got to give the people the credit for as much good as we've gotten done. It's really quite amazing. Anyway, what the new bill also does is it allows the FDA to quickly approve the use of new medications and treatments, which I absolutely love.
I'm 100% behind that.
I have really been watching the different pharmaceutical companies and the different researchers talk about what they're doing. And there's so many different things that they're doing in so many different directions. And it's so very hopeful that we are going to get a handle on this.
And they need to get the funding. Okay. They absolutely need to have a prioritization of funding. And that's why, again, I'm perturbed about all this pork that the Democrats were trying to stick in this bill, and pork that they got passed by pressuring the Republicans on this.
Right. These are kind of vague and ambiguous. Support for small businesses, support for local colleges and universities, support for veterans healthcare.
What does that mean?
Support for Department of Defense response to COVID-19. I don't know what it means. Again, you got to do the Nancy Pelosi thing and read the fine print.
Well, and I want to know how much money is being allocated to those different things.
They're all good things, and they're all necessary things.
Because it's a $2 trillion bill.
It's a $2 trillion bill. My main concern is that we get people to get a paycheck so that they can pay their house payments and their whatever they need, their food and things like that. Lots and lots. And I would venture to say most people in this country, and I'd like to know if you agree with me, live hand to mouth. Every month they get a paycheck, and in that month that paycheck is used up. Some people can save some money, and that's great. But most people don't have a big stockpile of money to face a situation like this.
No, you know, exactly right. And I've heard so many financial experts tell people that you've got to have enough cash on hand to take care of everything in your life for 3 months. Okay, you've got to have that.
And who can do that?
I know. And so your point, Linda, is very well taken, because the majority of the people that we know, all right, that are workers, and even some small business owners, are basically living hand to mouth. All right. So, and that's rough. So I think that's also going to cause people, like it did in the 30s during the Depression, to, you know, rethink what they spend money on and start putting money away for a rainy day, in this case, a coronavirus day. Well, and because
you're right.
You just got to do that.
And they do say that this virus can come back as an annual virus, and that's pretty scary.
That's hopefully, one of my concerns.
Hopefully by that time we will have a vaccine for it.
Right.
And I honestly, I feel pretty confident that we will. So, you know, we all need to really hunker down right now and do the whole social distancing thing. It's the only way that we're going to, you know, have an impact on this, because it is extremely contagious. And so we just have to deal with it. I don't mind it. It's different for us, and I don't mind it at all. And I think it's just a matter of mindset, and you can just deal with anything if you can just put your mind to it.
Well, you know, and I think your environment has a heck of a lot to do with your mindset, and we are so blessed. We're so fortunate, you know, to live on a little bit of property. I mean, we're not living in an apartment. We're not living in a condominium. We're not living as they do in Italy and some of these other places where they're living on top of each other and they're so darn congested. I think that it's much more difficult for those people because they can't, you know, they can't breathe, you know, so to speak. Now, you know, we were talking very recently with our good friends. We had a coffee conversation with our good friends, Giovanni and Valeria in Florence, Italy. And of course, they're in a nice, big, beautiful house in the center of Florence. But they were talking about the fact that now, other than going to the store or other than going to a medical appointment or something like that, the police have really, and military have really clamped down. And it's a 3,000 euro fine if they catch you out of your house and you don't have a valid reason for being out there. In other words, you're not in transit between the store and your house, or, you know, you've got some sort of medical emergency or something like that. You just can't even go out and walk anymore,
right,
and take a fresh breath of air.
Well, you know, and one thing that I really would encourage people to do is something that we're trying to do with our good friends and with our family, is that if one of us is going to go to the store, to ask the other people what they need so that everybody doesn't have to go out to the store. So that only one person has to go and distribute items amongst the other people. And that way, you know, we limit all of our time out in a public place.
And you know, the other thing that our friends, our good friends, started doing, and we're doing this with them, is we are ordering from our local store. So they've got a program where we can pre-order food, and we're going to order like a week's worth of food at a time. And then you go over there, you know, you pay for it online, and you go over there and you sit in a stall. The stall's got a number. You text the number into the store of where you are and what stall you are. They grab your food that they had been prepackaged, and they bring it out to you. And I'm telling you, that's just the paradigm that we're stuck with right now. But, you know, it works. And, you know, as you and I look around, like our neighborhood, nobody's panicking. Everybody's sort of taking this in. Everybody's being very nice. People wave. You know, out in the country, we're still able to get out and walk. And we see people jogging and walking their dogs, and they've got their families with them and everything like that. And everybody's waving. Everybody's keeping that social distance for sure. But people are, you know, people here, at least where we live here in Texas, I think they're doing a pretty good job.
You know, just in closing, I want to tell you a little story that I think is fascinating. Back in 1918, in the United States, we had a flu, and that flu was horrific. And similar to this one, it caused pneumonia. And that flu, they think, may have started in Kansas. And it was in a military camp, and it spread like wildfire. And in 1918, that flu, which was history's worst epidemic, which surpassed all the military deaths in World War I and World War II combined.
Oh, my gosh.
And
it during what period of time?
1918.
Just 1 year.
Oh, well, I don't know how long it lasted. I guess I would have to...
Okay, because we're talking, you know, between World War One and World War Two, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people.
It was a pandemic, and it killed 670,000 people.
Yeah, like I said, hundreds of thousands of people.
So, it was attacked the lungs just like this did. I'm wondering if it was related in some way, but I had no idea of this, and I happened across it, and I thought it was just fascinating to understand that this has happened before.
You know, let me just take, you know, we got a couple of more minutes, and, you know, as a medical investigator, let me provide some people with some tips of some things that don't always come out on television, don't always come out on the radio. You know, people are washing their hands, and that's really nice. But don't forget, when you are out there and you're wearing clothes, you want to strip out of those clothes at the end of the day, and you want to wash those clothes every single day. So get those clothes washed in warm water. It's not, you know, cold water, warm water, hot water. It's the time that you put them in the washing machine with the detergent that really matters. So get those clothes washed, because that's very, very important. Now, if you've got some latex gloves and you've got a supply of latex gloves, that's going to save you a lot. And so put those latex gloves on. And obviously, when you're out and about, like at the store or everything, you put the latex gloves on. When you're done doing all your shopping and touching all the stuff that you're supposed to be touching, strip off those latex gloves and, you know, throw them in a garbage can. Another thing that you want to do is don't forget that if you're getting packages from like Amazon or Federal Express or UPS and everything like that,
cardboard boxes.
A lot of people have touched those things. You don't know where those people have been or who they've had in contact with. For God's sakes, you know, you got to touch those boxes. But when you're done, two things: get those boxes out of your house, those packages out of your house as soon as possible, and then wash your hands.
Yes.
Okay. And that's just about it for us this evening, young lady.
Well, let's pray that they pass this and the president signs the stimulus bill, and then we can talk about some more positive things next time.
Absolutely.
We have a conversation.
And God bless and good luck to all of you. And we'll see you again in Talking Lawn Care.